This is Petra Haller coming to you from the Sanctuary for Independent Media. I am joined today by award-winning American roots musician Martha Redbone in anticipation of next week's Spirit of the Suffragettes concert series on July 16th in Freedom Square. Martha, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Hi, Petra. Thank you for having me.
Now, for our listeners that might just be discovering your music, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, hello, everyone. It's going to be an absolute honor to be a part of this concert series next week. We are so excited to come up to Troy and share our music with you. The music that we do, and I say we because I don't do this music alone. I've been working with my longtime collaborator and husband, Aaron Whitby, who is co-writer and co-producer and arranger of all the original materials. We arrange the cover tunes that we do together, and we've been a team for a very, very long time. The music that we do, I kind of gave it a broad title as American Roots Music because I feel it covers a huge range of music that I consider the foundation of America, which begins with traditional Native American music. It's African American blues or Afro-Indian blues, as you call it, Southeastern style traditional singing, gospel music, and some rock and roll and rockabilly and country. And it's kind of a whole big, I guess we call it a gumbo of American music. It's also music that we consider congregational music, meaning that we always hope to give a feeling of participation from the audience as well as the bands. And we love having everyone sing together in their singing parts. And we do church claps. So it's really a lot of fun and a lot of love circulating from the stage into the audience.
One of your more recent projects has been the Bone Hill Concert, which has been described as an interdisciplinary musical theater work. Would you be able to tell us a little bit more about that?
Bone Hill is, I guess, what we would call a theatrical concert, which we are currently on tour around the country with in different performing arts places. This is a commission from Joe's Pub in the Public Theater, which had a wonderful artist initiative where they asked musicians to create a theatrical story based on the music that we do. And since we were in the mode of celebrating Black Mountain, where I come from, my roots in Kentucky, and the idea of preserving culture and family stories, we thought that Bone Hill would be a great vehicle to share these stories. So it's basically a concert with storytelling, honoring the history of America, the history of our family, the history of the land that I'm from, the homelands that we're from, and our tribe, our heritage that we still share today. That's what we've been on the road with doing as well. And next week, we might sneak in a couple songs from there, too, as part of our set next week.
I really hope that you do. And could you tell the listeners where you will be performing this theatrical piece in the future?
We're kind of performing all over the country, so we don't have anything right away. I believe we're going to be performing again in January and February. I think we're going to be out west and leave in Oregon, so in the south and Texas, and maybe Arkansas and North Carolina. We kind of tour everywhere, so I'm hoping maybe in the near future we could end up coming to Troy and performing somewhere near you guys so that guys can get to see the story as well. I have a lot of Iroquois friends up in Onondaga who I'd love to see and who I'd love to share the story with as well.
Maybe some of the people listening right now will be able to help set that up.
Yeah, I hope so. That would be great.
But in the meantime, next week on Tuesday, you will be performing at the Spirit of the Suffragettes concert series, which we are all very excited for. This series celebrates the activists of the suffragette movement, but it also aims to expand the often whitewashed history that is taught in our education system. So trying to open up that dialogue to include the very important work by women of color who have fought for equal rights and freedom for all people. And your work definitely adds to this dialogue in a very vital way. Could you speak about the importance of expanding this discourse?
Sure. I mean, I guess the first thing I would say is I don't believe that, you know, the American history has been whitewashed. It hasn't really been washed at all. It's just white.
Oh.
That's what we've been taught.
Fair.
So it hasn't been washed at all. It's just we've been taught a white history. Because remember, we're dealing with a country that was founded on a lot of violence, and it was never lost. You know, this land was never lost. We were always here. So these words about being founded and the history being documented from the point of colonization is what seems to matter to many people. And that's what we've been taught for a very long time. And luckily, we are all still here and able to share our stories. ways. And I think that's also the importance of keeping your culture alive and sharing your family stories, each individual stories, no matter where you're from, no matter what color that you are or, you know, where you come from. It's valid. One of the things I really like to stress is that I don't feel that a white person or European person's history is not equally as important, but I feel that it shouldn't be instead of. I feel that it's other people's histories are equally important. And also, when the European history is being told, basically the part that's being washed, when we talk about that phrase whitewash, is the actual murders in order to make these things happen. And so those are the things I think it's okay to talk about people's so-called achievements or things that have been missions that have been accomplished. But it's also extremely important to talk about how those things came to be. And, you know, you have to talk about what we call uncomfortable truths because they are true. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about the history of Indigenous people, of the First Nations people, that is extremely important in the course of how everything came to be. I mean, the United States Constitution is based on the Iroquois Confederacy. Mm-hmm. There was no, so, you know, it starts right there. And if we begin just from that, you know, the Iroquois Confederacy being the kind of template from which the United States Constitution was written on, let's just start from there. And then when you look at the United States Constitution, which has written in it, refers to the First Nations people as animals, savages, not even human. And then you read further down that the African is only considered 3/5 human. So this was the so-called founding fathers. These are things that they have in place, you know, in the original Constitution. So this is where we are beginning. And this is why we have so much work to do, because those things have never been, they've never been removed. They've never been amended since then. Yeah. So that's something to kind of think about. No one has ever written an amendment to the Constitution that says, by the way, this was said at this time, and we'd like to strike it from the record. This is absolutely untrue. Mm-hmm. And so when you have those things, until that kind of things happen, when people discuss apologies, I know in Canada that the Canadian government made apologies to the First Nations people for boarding schools and for this, but, you know, we don't have that here in the United States. There's a lot of work to be done, you know, and I also think that the movements today, I think they're very, very important because they are movements towards positive change and healing. And we do still have an awful long ways to go. There's been a lot of really wonderful things that have happened compared to, you know, where we are today, compared to how things used to be. As women, we were considered property. All women, white, black, First Nations, everyone was considered property. We had no right, even if we were not happy in our marriages or things like that, we could not do anything. So we were property just like cattle. So, you know, having the right to vote, having the right to be able to leave your marriage if you're not happy or make a change. Having, in my case, being a black and Indigenous woman, being able to perform in spaces that you couldn't even go anywhere other than the kitchen. Mm-hmm. When I look at that, I feel very honored that so many have fought and died in order to give us the right to do all these things. But I feel very blessed, and I also feel a great sense of responsibility to continue that momentum and to represent it, because this is a gift that people have died for. And so we all need to kind of honor that. Mm-hmm. Because it took a lot to get us all to this point.
That's a really important point. Who are some of the people that you would say have inspired you in all of the work that you do? Because you're an advocate as well, on top of being an artist.
Well, it starts from my family, the women in my family who have given me the confidence to speak, say how I feel, and to speak out against injustice of any kind. My role models are women leaders, who many who I consider friends, who are doing amazing work for our communities. LaDonna Bravebull, she's an incredible person who stood up at Standing Rock. Mm. And she's also a big sister of mine, too, and she's wonderful. I mean, if you go to my Instagram, you'll see pictures of us together. She's a wonderful, powerful woman who is standing up for our people. There's also my dear sister as well, another big sister, who is a former chief, Brenda Darda Robichaud, in the Homa Nation down in Louisiana. Louisiana, who, when the Hurricane Katrina hit, she came forward and really fought for her nation. This is a tribe who are state recognized, and because of the complexities of state versus federal recognition with tribes, there was a whole lot of money that was raised that never got to the state recognized Native nations. And so she really came forward and made a difference. And she's a wonderful, wonderful person who is an advocate for Native rights and Native artists and musicians. And there's also my friend Patricia Prescott, who is a Midwankatan Sioux from Shakopee, Minnesota, who is also a leader in the beginning stages of Indian gaming. Just these are like really powerful, wonderful, spirited women leaders. Deb Holland from Laguna Pueblo. I mean, the list goes on and on. And all these wonderful women who are in Washington, D.C. now representing Congress. These are things that we have always had in our history. But to actually see this happening in the United States government is something that, you know, I thought would never happen in my lifetime, and I knew in my mother's lifetime, but to see this is where we need to be. And the men behind them, the men who also support this, is the presence of the women now in the forefront does not mean that the men are being emasculated in any way or diminished in any way. It's that we are finally acknowledged and given an equal stand, you know, an equal footing onto the issues that matter and that are important to all the communities. And so, you know, I applaud the men who are standing behind these women and helping give this platform and allowing all of these women to help make change and to be recognized for it, more importantly, is really that it's the recognition, because women have always been in the trenches making the work happen. But this is like the first time in a very long, long time that the recognition is there. We know their names. And, you know, as that hashtag says, say their names, we are saying all of our names, past and present and future.
Before we say goodbye, could you tell our listeners how they can find your music?
Yes. I think that the best way to keep up with me would be in social media. Find me on Twitter. Find me on Instagram. Find me on Facebook. Click like or a heart. Give me a thumbs up or let me know what you think. And I share all of our concert performances on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. I look forward to hearing from everyone. And I'm always grateful. I've been an independent artist my entire career, you know. Everything happens out of, you know, basically out of my living room. And I love being a grassroots musician. It allows me the chance to be able to interact with my community and support causes that I believe in. I'm truly grateful for every single like and thumbs up and heart and all of these things that happen. It means an awful lot because we put in the work to make that happen, to make that connection with everyone. And I really look forward to seeing everyone next week. And I hope you enjoy the show.
And we hope that you'll bring lots of CDs for people to buy as well.
We will indeed. We will indeed. Thank you.
Perfect. Yeah, Martha, thank you so much for speaking with me today. It's been a pleasure and an honor. And we will see you next week.
Thank you, Petra. Thanks for your time. See everyone next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye, Martha.